Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a dungeon master. I use the pronouns he, him, his. Today, we are continuing our murder mystery. That's right, Murder on the Eberron Express. A tale of intrigue. Technically a Dungeons & Dragons game, but very light on the Dungeons and the Dragons. Allow me to introduce our spurious players, and then I will do a reminder of the action so far. Let me work kind of left to right how I see them in the train. First up, it's Monty Ashley.
Hi, I'm Monty Ashley. He, him. I am playing Jonas Baker, the definitely 100% legitimate newly found heir of Egan Baker, who has been found killed on this train.
Next up, Dan Morin.
Hello, I am Dan Morin. I am playing Fontaine, the conductor on the Lightning Rail. We both use he, him pronouns. And I knew the deceased. I did not like him, but I will stop at nothing to find his murderer.
Also joining us, Jason Snell.
Hi there. I am playing Kalen Cool Dude, and he lives in the boathouse at the estate.
Somehow I remember
sometimes a pool house, sometimes a boathouse. It was a very nice outbuilding that is both boat and pool house.
One side is the pool, one side is the boat.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The irregularity in your story.
Kalen has known the deceased for a very long time and is out there in the pool house, and nobody really knows why he has been freeloading this long, but he has been.
Mm. All right. Over in the dining car, it's Annette Weirster. Hi, Annette.
Hello, I am Annette. I am playing Valente. We are both she, her, and I am sort of not outside of this family group, but I did know that dude in the boathouse some time ago.
Just a passenger on the Lightning Rail. No, nobody to focus any suspicion on whatsoever. Also joining us, it's Kathy Campbell. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. I play Kaeli Jones, and we both use she, her. I am the secretary for the deceased, part-time lover, apparent mistress. and I am now dressed and very thankful to have clothes on.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, it's one James Thompson.
I'm James Thompson. I am playing Athor Ardent, and he is an artificer in academia who is ardent by name and ardent by nature, and has a solid alibi.
Okay. Also on the train, two non-player characters that I will voice as needed. The wife of one Egan Baker, that being Evelyn Baker, and business partner Leopold Henderson V. So what has happened so far on our Murder on the Eberron Express? Well, we found a murder. Egan Baker, inventor and artificer, was found, shot twice, and left to die in the dining car. He then died, just to make that real clear.
Shot through the heart.
Many twice.
And then slightly above the heart.
Who's to blame?
Many accusations have been...
Give trains a bad...
Conduct yourself with dignity, sir. Many accusations have been lobbed around. People have various alibis for where they were and where they were not at the time, or the supposed time of Egan Baker's death. Several passengers have been escorted back to their cabins to retrieve various items. Since so far you have spent much of the trip cloistered in the dining car under lock and key at the behest of the conductor, Fontaine. I believe that just over 2 hours have passed. Fairhaven is perhaps about 3 hours away, at which point probably all of you will be taken in for questioning and, just given the once-over by the very, very thorough law enforcement agents in Fairhaven. And, even if you are not a murderer, you're probably not looking forward to that. So the last thing that happened is the conductor Fontaine and loyal retainer Kalen Cooldude escorted lost heir Jonas, who has styled himself Jonas Baker, to his cabin so he could retrieve a deck of playing cards. There's a bit of a scuffle, verbal scuffle at least. Kalen Cooldude successfully backed away and cast a detect magic spell on Jonas's cabin. But before we find the results of that spell, let's go back to the dining car, see how things are doing there. So the dining car, Evelyn Baker, one end of the car, Leopold Henderson the fifth, other end of the car, Egan Baker's corpse in the middle. Kaylee and Artur seem to be hanging out at the bar with Leopold. Valente, what are you up to?
I think I'm going to, like, since no one's stopping me, I want to do kind of an investigation around the table and see if, like, you know, I can see anything.
All right. You are, you know, you're still, no one is stopping you, but certainly your actions would probably not go unobserved at the very least.
So, totally watching.
You're looking around. You're looking with your eyes, right? Not with your hands.
I rolled a 20, which gives me a 26 investigation.
All right. Yeah, you're surveying. And, you know, at this point, the crime scene has been pretty looked over by several of you. Different people have concluded slightly different levels of detail about things. But you are looking it over, and it does seem, you know, I don't think there's anything too exciting to learn at this point. Bullet holes in the table, two bullets lodged in it. The gun, I believe, is still just sitting on the table, though the remaining cartridges were tossed out the window by Artur. There is the kind of knocked over a decanter of brandy, which does seem to have some kind of swirling residue in it. Though I believe at this point Evelyn has come clean that she added a sleeping draught to the brandy. So there's not much to be learned there. It does appear, as far as you can tell, Baker was shot twice in the back while he was already slumped over the table, whether through the effects of the sleeping draught or just drinking a lot of brandy. And there does not seem to be any other evidence that has been left behind.
Okay.
Does seem there is a, I'll tell you this, because you rolled an amazing roll. You know, there was a decent amount of blood. It's a small train. Probably whoever shot him got some blood on them. How's that?
I'm wearing white. I'd like to swirl, like, look down. I have no blood on me.
You've walked back and forth in this crime scene for the last 2 hours.
I wear a lot of white. I'm very good at keeping clean. I go over to the bar and ask Kay Ely and the Arc Scholar, Arthur, how'd you guys meet?
So, how did you
It's a funny story.
That was not the question that I was prepared to answer.
What? No blood. I mean,
We met after he, after Mr. Baker was extremely rude to Mr. Ardent at a conference.
Yeah. And, basically, I was kind of humiliated by Egan back then, but, you know, the best way to deal with these things is to move on with your life and hook up with his mistress. And
I don't disagree.
And, yeah, I'm happy.
As am I.
Okay. I tell you that I have looked over there. I'm taking a look. I don't trust all these people to, like, do a good job of investigating, but there really doesn't seem to be any extra things lying around. We can, unless we start, like, digging into the pockets or like the body, which, yeah, I'm not going to do. That's a step too far.
I mean, before the rest of them get back, are we suspecting anyone in particular who's perhaps left the cabin?
So many people disliked him. Everyone's a suspect, basically. I don't know anyone.
I mean, the person who's got the most to gain is Jonas.
Yes. Especially because the will was changed and he's now officially the heir.
I don't know. I don't really know these people.
So you keep telling us. Frequently.
I'm ruined! Says
Leopold. I pour Leopold another scotch, because that's what he's drinking, and just, he's getting a little, you know, slide that over there.
I've earned.
Is there any food back there?
I haven't had breakfast yet.
Yeah, there's the Eberron equivalent of, like steampunk pretzels, which are basically pretzels.
Oh, man. Pretzels are the shape of a gear.
Awesome.
Yeah. You're in the other cabin. You don't get them.
I'll break them out and put some bowls out.
I want steampunk pretzels now.
It's like how there's everything space money and stuff. This is steampunk.
Yeah. They're the same.
They're the same, but just when you open the package, it goes doo doo.
And a puff of steam comes out.
What a cool souvenir!
Isn't it great that the Dungeon Master has some role in this adventure?
Open three bags.
All right, there's nice little silver ramekins to pour the pretzels into.
Very fancy. They're not bronze. I would think they would be bronze.
Well,
this is going on, I'll sort of turn to Kylie and say, are you okay? Are you doing okay?
There's a dead body in this car.
And we both knew him.
Yeah. Some of us better than others, but I don't know how to handle death. I haven't been around a lot of it, let alone so close. He's right there. He's not looking at me, right?
He's got a sheet over him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
He's dead. He's not looking at anyone.
I just feel him looking at all of us somehow at the same time.
I could try putting him out a window, but I don't think it would go over well.
Evelyn Baker is kind of, I guess, is in the next stage of shock and is just pacing back and forth at the back of the car.
Maybe we should give
listeners,
her a drink,
icon is moving up and down.
Meanwhile, back in the first class carriages, Kaelin Coldude, you have cast Detect Magic. Could you read us the text of Detect Magic and tell us what it does and doesn't get as a conductor and Fondaine and Lost Air Jonas are standing in the doorway of Jonas's cabin?
So for the next up to 10 minutes, I can sense the presence of magic within 30 feet of me. If I sense magic in this way, I can use my action to see a faint aura around any visible creature or object in the area that bears magic and learn its school of magic.
Okay. Jonas, as Kaelin Coldude, unknown to you, casts his detect magic and his kind of aura extends into your cabin. Does he find anything magical on you, on your person, or in your cabin?
No.
Thank you. You're welcome, Jason.
Okay. I'm gonna keep that going for our return to the dining car so that
my cabin is not the only one within 30 feet of him.
Yeah. I'm just, as we're walking back, let me know if I detect anything because I can keep this going for 10 minutes.
Could people just take a second and message me if, I guess, people who are in the first class, people whose cabin is in this carriage, which would be the Baker family, I guess your own cabin, Kaelin. I guess really, and Kaylee, if you had any magical items that would theoretically be picked up by this. Do they have to be within view, Kaelin, or no?
Just within 30 feet? The spell can penetrate most barriers. It would take an inch of metal or a thin sheet of lead or 3 feet of wood. So it seems unlikely that...
I think you effectively have full magical view of the of this carriage.
Yeah.
Allow me to just poke through what do people have in their cabins for you as I scroll through a PDF.
Scrolling through a PDF. It's a fun thing to do.
Do do do.
Catching up on PDFs.
There was one earring in my carriage, which has been retrieved. So if
not
it was
magical,
magic...
not magical. Well, I guess we don't know. Let's see here.
It could be a mighty F for to scroll through a PDF.
Right. you pass by your own cabin. You don't have to tell us if you picked up anything magical there. You pass by Leopold Henderson the Fifth's cabin. Nothing exciting in there. You pass by Kaylee's cabin, nothing in there. And what's left? Let's see. That would be the Baker family cabin. Let me just check if they've got anything. Yep, nothing in there. Seems like there is no magical items in this carriage. You know, it would probably not be uncommon, especially since, you know, Egan Baker himself is an artificer. There's at least one other artificer on this train. People may have various magical objects that they carry with them as people of wealth and power, but probably they are all packed in the cargo area.
All right.
Any magic in the train itself?
I think the train is itself, you know, steampunk magic. So, yeah.
So I can sense the, like, magic of the rails or the...
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it.
And the rhythm of the wheels.
The magic of the rails. Coming soon from Amtrak.
Also, I believe I'm fighting or arguing with Fontaine about whether...
A shiny non-magical thing.
I inquired about a shiny thing that was in there, and he told me none of my business.
And you left it at that?
Very well, I suppose this is your private belongings, but if you have something to hide, that does seem to make you suspicious. Perhaps if you are...
Are we done here then?
I suppose so. I'll be forced to note this.
Do so. Now, all right, please, I will lock my cabin again as we all leave together.
Back to the dining car.
All right, and so you return to the dining car. The whole group is reassembled once again. What's next, people?
I would like to poke around the body a little bit more, see if he had anything else on him that might provide a clue.
Really concerned about crime scenes? Now, our one conductor was a different guy.
At this point, we have engaged in some accusations have been hurled. People have been trying to figure things out, so it seems as though we should take a closer look. I'm going to kind of try to do it as you know, carefully as possible. I can use what do I have on me? Some sort of pen, like a pen or something.
Yeah, you have this pen.
Writing implement and to like...
Conductor's baton.
By the way, Tony,
and in my spare time, a conductor.
And Tony, by the way, I need to know if there's anything magical in the dining car.
Oh, I don't think you are. Does anyone message me if you've got a magic item on you that would pop up on his?
Presumably, the gun is magic. Gun,
yeah, I think. Yeah.
What if it's not though? That'd be exciting. It's a fake gun.
He's invented a mundane gun.
Or maybe it got swapped out. Yeah.
Maybe he's a grifter. Maybe he was just going to do one of those, you know, water into gas scams.
I just like the idea that he's like, I made a magic gun, but instead it's just a normal gun and it still kills people.
And nobody's interested in it.
Whatever.
It's way better than Fireball, you guys. We don't care.
No. Boring.
All right. Did anyone want to reveal any magic
Caitlin
items?
Cool Dude, magic detective. Oh, well.
No magic here.
I draw a magic detective or a magic detective?
Yes.
It was a good move, I thought.
Thank you. Did nothing, but oh, well.
All right. It rules some things out, potentially,
right?
Yeah,
it ruled them out.
Yeah. Do you want to share that you did
the impossible. That's a part of Sherlock Holmes' strategy.
No, I don't.
Nope. Okay.
Do I get to investigate the body?
Yeah, roll something.
Boy, has this body been investigated?
Yeah.
Is he dead?
15. I'm looking. I want to see if he's got anything else on him.
All right, you inspect him thoroughly. He does not seem to have anything else on him. He's got, you know, nothing you wouldn't expect. He's got a key to his cabin. He's got his ticket stubs. You know, he has a little silver cigarette case. You know, standard rich.
Like a wallet or anything like that?
He's got a money clip. does not look like anyone has taken his items of value on him. He's got a fancy watch on a chain, a monocle. I don't know. I think I'm.
He's
dangerously close to becoming Mr. Moneybags here at this point. The watch is the watch.
Got the deed to Boardwalk.
Yep. Did I mention he has a sack with a dollar sign on it?
Several community chess cards.
He's still got that trophy he won for being second place in a beauty contest.
Yeah, it's got a little metal dog. The watch is still ticking away, but nice try, James.
I just thought there might have been a clue there.
Yeah, he keeps it close to his heart.
It deflected the bullets. He's not really dead.
I'll look over Fontaine's shoulder. Oh, don't have all his valuables on him, huh?
Seems so. I suspect we had already ruled out the possibility of a robbery gone wrong, but yeah, it doesn't hurt to at least establish that. It does seem as though our problem is not finding a motive, but rather identifying the correct motive. It seems as though many people had a bone to pick with Mr. Baker.
Baker takes his moment to speak up. One of these people killed him, and I insist that you find out immediately and detain them. I won't be trapped in this room with murderers any longer.
I'm afraid, Madam Baker, that we cannot exclude even you from the possibility of murdering your husband.
I will be speaking to my lawyer when we arrive at Fairhaven. This is unacceptable. Yes,
within your rights.
Humph.
Unfortunately, it is the best option that we have.
I really want to have Kaelin just stand up and say, now, I'm sure you're wondering why I called you all here.
Eight minute pause.
It's the best disguise.
Instead, actually, Kaelin is going to stand up and say, well, look here. He was killed by his... look here, everybody. He was killed... with his weapon that he has been showing all over the place that could change the face of Eberron. It could a silent killing device. It could make people rich, but also it is a super deadly weapon. And on this train, we have this man, and I point at Leopold Henderson V, who is convinced that he is going to be rich because of it. And this man, and I point at Arthur Ardent and say, who seems like perhaps he was interested in being a beneficiary of this invention. I wonder if the intent here was to steal the technology. And these two gentlemen seem to be the most likely suspects for that.
Look, I don't have to steal anything from that hack. He couldn't have invented that if he tried.
Well, then where did it come from if he didn't invent it?
Well, it's just been my experience that a lot of the inventions that he's come up with over the years, he's perhaps taken from other people.
I got it.
Did you have any evidence
such as
that?
You?
Did that happen to you?
Perhaps.
And you never said
anything. Not exactly making an airtight defense.
And you never said anything about it.
Well, okay. I'll level with you, since you're the great detective.
Finally.
Pool boy.
Technically, now, just to be clear, there is a pool boy. He cleans the pool. Some of his supplies are kept in my closet.
House boy.
But I am not the pool boy. The pool boy keeps the chlorine and the brush in my closet, but I don't clean the pool.
Should we have a Mrs. Baker about the pool boy?
Are you the house boy then?
The pool house boy.
Answer the question!
You answer that one.
No, I'm not. Now, what about you?
Okay, so we went to university together, Egan and me, and we worked on a lot of stuff together, and... he basically, as he's done with everything, he takes these inventions and he perverts them for military use.
This was a peaceful gun I invented.
Well, like, to give the example, like, we worked together and it was on a line of robotic helpers for the elderly and the infirm. And they were small robot pandas, but that's an aside. And they turned out that they were great at like extreme violence. And he took sold it to the military.
Leopold
but
Henderson
they were
the
already good at extreme
yes, the Pascal 5000. We made a mint off those delightful killbots.
It turns out they're fantastic at killing old and infirm people.
And you're just blaming him for seeing the military value in that.
Cut through the blank paper.
It's like Steel Defender, more like Steel Defender, STEAL, because he stole that from me.
Hey, Atho, I got a question. If we were to search you, would we find those charges you said you threw out the window?
You would not. Feel free.
I unbutton them.
I start unbuttoning the dressing gown.
Does your robe have buttons?
it's a fancy robe.
All right. I'll pat it down.
Yeah, give me a quick perception check. You know.
No need.
No. Opens. Yep. Yeah, whoa!
No need to open the kimono, as it were.
Yeah.
All right. What's the reverse of a perception check? Can I do like a blocking of perception?
aversion check?
Yeah.
I close my eyes.
Jonas, how thoroughly do you want to search it? Why am I asking this question? Oh, never ask questions that you don't want to know the answer.
Tony, I would know if the bullets were in on his person because of my detect magic.
Yeah,
I'm already being set.
So he doesn't have them. I can tell
this
you he
is
doesn't
Jonas.
Have them.
All right, Jonas, you search him to the extent you wish to and feel confident that he does not have the bullets on him.
Right. I would know.
Quick rules question, Tony. This is a little cheesy, and I apologize. Mm-hmm. But I get my superiority dice back on a short rest. Can I assume that I've effectively had a short rest since the last time I did anything?
Yeah, sure.
All right. This whole, like, for a warrior like me, this is all short rest, really.
Okay.
All right. You're clean.
I told you I was.
No, I mean, I'm impressed with how clean you are.
Well, you know.
And what about
you've got someone coming around, you have a show.
What about you, Henderson? What do you know about this? What do you know about his past? And did he, you know, were you thinking that you were going to somehow benefit from his invention, that he would cut you in on it now?
I'm as I've mentioned, I'm ruined.
You're not. You were not going to make any money off of this.
Look, Egan Baker owes me money, and I don't see how I'm going to get it now. Not with this chap muscling in on things, he says, pointing at Jonas. But as I see it, it's Evelyn is going to be in charge now. But without this prototype finished, without it turned into a working model, it's just a murder weapon. It's not a fortune yet. His death does not serve me in any way.
Are you suggesting it doesn't work? Because the indication clearly seems to be that it does.
Yeah. Look, I'm not contesting that he is dead, but there's a difference between killing a man in a dining car on a train and being ready for battle. And can it be mass-produced? So many questions.
The publicity we're going to get out of this is going to be amazing. It doesn't matter if it works. Everybody's going to want it.
The gun so powerful it killed its own inventor. I see it now in lights.
Yeah. It was involved in some kind of murder on the Eberron train.
Look. We have had our differences, me and Baker. We haven't always seen eye to eye, and some of our dealings have not been how I would prefer, but he was letting me back in. I was finally going to make the money I needed. He was going to pay me back what I had coming to me, and I had nothing to gain from this. Any other questions for Leopold Henderson the Fifth?
Did you believe you were really going to get that money back?
I hope so.
Can we roll deception?
Probably insight.
Insight?
Insight.
I'm good at insight. Oh, 25.
He seems pretty sincere. I would say, Leopold Henderson V does seem potentially suspicious. He is the last person, I believe, well, depends. He is the last confirmed person to have seen Egan Baker alive. Little confusing about the timeline in terms of when Kaelin Kuldul went to sleep and passed through the dining car, and when Leopold Henderson V saw him. But last person to see him awake, at the very least, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got it. I was just going to say, I'm kind of disappointed that Fontaine hasn't put a murder board up on the side of the trail with, like,
pros and cons. Portraits.
I mean, you need to get my yarn.
Yeah. Mm. The yarn's in the cargo hold.
Special train yarn. Yep.
And rope, you, Mr. Baby? Ardent, if Mr. Baker was known to have stolen inventions from others, perhaps yourself among them, that seems as though it would give you potentially a powerful reason to want him dead.
Honestly, I am sorry that he's dead, because I can't rub this new relationship in his face.
Right, I see. You're all terrible people.
But what about you, Mr. Fontaine? You seem to be well aware of Mr. Baker's doings. Perhaps a little too familiar for just a conductor.
It's quite a coincidence, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I assure you, as I mentioned, he traveled by train often, and we did know each other before the war, and perhaps that was one reason he chose to travel on the routes that I was working on, but I assure you, killing him on the train would do nothing for me. If anything, it would put my very job at risk. So,
but it'd be satisfying, wouldn't it, to finally put a bullet in the back of that man that you hate so much? As
I said, I would not shoot him in the back. I would have challenged him to his face as a soldier.
Would you care to elucidate us as to what your relationship was like during the war, sir? Very intriguing.
We encountered each other from time to time. He had a way of weaseling his way into circumstances that he thought he could benefit from.
We all know that Mr. Baker was not a fighter in the war, and you sir, you were. Thank you for your service. And what's the nature of your relationship?
Thank you for your service, you say with one hand while you slap me verbally with the other. The nature of our relationship was he attempted to do business during the war, and occasionally I found myself, much as I hate to admit it, in need of having somebody with his sort of connections, his sort of ingenuity. But I must say, as I've maintained before, I had no reason to kill him or want him dead myself.
But let's put aside the motive.
Benefit, no way.
Let's put aside the motive for now. Let's look at means. Who could have got this gun on the train?
Well, it seems he himself got the gun on the train.
You didn't search him?
As I mentioned,
I did search him, as my faculties are not perfect. He was an artificer. He had ways of concealing things about his person.
We don't have ways of concealing weapons like that.
Searched him. He didn't have anything concealed on him.
May I ask everyone here a question? Did anyone see Egan with the gun when he was alive on this journey?
No.
Was he showing it? Because we don't know for a fact that he brought it on himself and that someone else didn't bring it on.
Well, the question then is, who else had access to the gun?
Who else could have built such a gun? Who had abilities?
Evelyn Baker spokes up. She says, he had the gun with him.
Okay.
He wouldn't let it leave his side. No interest in checking it into storage.
So someone allowed, Evelyn, did he smuggle the gun on board on his person?
I don't know the details of how he got it on board, but he's had it in his holster on his side for the whole time. He's been talking about it. He showed it to Henderson. Henderson nods glumly. Harumph!
A sad harumph.
He's now harumphing instead of saying he's ruined.
I wonder, Mr. Conductor, as the person who found the body and proclaimed it, as somebody with access to all portions of the train, and as somebody who failed in the job of preventing this weapon from being allowed on, with a prior history with the deceased, I do wonder sir, if you might be the one responsible.
Are you some kind of
real interested in accusation. My possessions just a moment ago, trying to go through my cabin? He probably did the same thing.
What about the conductor's
Egan's.
Cabin? What about that? Oh, perhaps we should investigate that cabin.
This is a distraction. I resent the implication.
Let's all go to the conductor's cabin together.
Yep.
Field trip.
Hooray!
It's most regular for you to go to my cabin, but if there is no other way to prove to you my innocence, very well, then we shall do that.
Is that what we're doing?
Yep.
All right. So I believe that the order in the train is that you're going to go from the dining car, and all of you are going together. You're bringing Evelyn and Leopold Henderson V with you.
All of us.
All of us, as a big, giant group, I'm reminded of scenes from Clue, are going to move. So I believe you're going to go through the section of the next carriage where several people had their cabins. And then the next carriage after that is basically there's a cabin for the conductor and there's a galley, which would where meals would be prepared if meal services had not been cut off. Beyond that, second class and cargo.
And
so we're going to say
food. I understand.
And Tony, I'm casting detect magic as we walk in case there are magical items in either of those cars.
And I'm going to grab a pretzel as we go past the galley.
I love that there's just a man in a bathrobe eating pretzels, wandering down the halls of a train, a murder train.
Yeah, you know what? Murders have been solved with less.
Okay. All right. So you make your way. Do you have to cast it again? Is that you're just spamming detect magic?
Yeah, I'm casting it again. It's a cantrip, or I can cast it at will, so it's fine.
Okay. So let's see here. Remind me, people. What if you have anything in your cabins that would potentially be revealed by a detect magic as you pass through the carriage? At this point, I believe Kaelin Cooldude will have cast detect magic in both of carriages with your cabins, the dining car, and now going into the galley car with the conductor's cabin. All right. Let's see here. Just looking at stuff.
We're also looking, just as a reminder, we're also looking for any clothing or other bloody items that would be a clue.
Yeah, so if there's bloody footprints, don't forget to mention those.
Yeah.
Yes. They go all the way to somebody's cabin.
If only I had detect blood. Oh, man. Although I guess that everybody would show up on that because everybody's got blood.
Yeah, full of it. All right, so you make
plenty.
Your way.
Why are you looking for it?
Did anyone message me with anything that would need to have popped up as you passed through the second cabin?
Doesn't
seem like it.
No.
Mm-mm. All right, and so you make your way into the galley car. Which is, this is now kind of, you're fully kind of behind the scenes. This is not a place where first class passengers would pass. Let me just check here. And so, Fontaine, you are kind of going Tony, along with this.
Tony, I did IMU something.
Suspicious.
No, it's perfectly fine. That's nothing anybody, it's in Slack. But it's nothing anybody needs to know about.
You know what? Give me a quick stealth check, Jonas, to do that. Does that seem reasonable?
Oh, pretty bad.
How bad is pretty bad?
A 5.
I'm going to say... Who is escorting Fontaine? Fontaine? Fair to say, you are not excited. You're cooperating, but not happy to go along with this.
I think am right because I kind of initiated this.
You insisted, so yes.
All right, so Kaelin Cooldude, you are escorting the conductor. Athor, where are you in all this?
I'm with the pretzels.
Okay. Valente, how are you feel about this whole situation?
I'm, let's say, in the middle.
All right. And Kaylee?
I'm as far away from Mrs. Baker as possible.
Okay. I'm going to say you all kind of notice Jonas kind of hanging back as if he's not going to follow.
Mr. Baker, perhaps you could be care to join us.
Who? Oh, right, Mr. Baker. That's me. Sure. Here, let's go. I catch up with the rest of the group. Sure.
Okay. There was an attempt to sneak off. It did not go successfully. All right. Even with a giant crowd of people. So you make your way to the galley. In the galley, there's it's a similar size, but much more Spartan cabin for the conductor. And I guess, I mean, Fontaine, are you just going to unlock your personal cabin for them?
I suppose so. I don't know that I have much of an option.
All right. Kaelin, I think this is your Inquisition.
I don't know what you expect to find, but I will tell you that you will most certainly not find it.
Let's look around, not just with our eyes this time. Let's poke around with our hands and fingers. And
all
stuff.
Right, I turned the place upside down. Let's go crazy.
Yeah, let's
folks.
Do it. Flipping the mattress
over, pulling doors out.
This is. I ask you to be respectful. This is my cabin. This is where I sleep.
All right. Give me a quick perception check. Anyone who's doing that.
I got 19.
Dan, let me know.
How many
if there's
of you
anything...
could possibly fit in this? 18. Yeah.
I would say 3 people can search the cabin at a time.
We'll take turns. It's fine.
Mm. I'm going to spend a superiority
just
die.
Just cycle through.
Okay. You love this.
As 2 battle masters, we understand what I'm doing.
You just maintain eye contact with them the whole time that you're searching.
Surprisingly scientific about it.
Mm. I am going to make an intimidation roll as I do this, and I will use my superiority die to add to that.
15 investigation.
Mm. 18 here.
30 intimidation.
All right, you know what? I'm going to say 30 intimidation. I think probably anyone who feels like they would be intimidated by the by Fontaine, I don't know if Jonas would or not. I think you have disadvantage because you suddenly are worried that he's going to punch you in the back of the head while you're searching.
What was your rank in the army? Were you an officer or a...
gentleman?
That's how the Everon army works, canon.
No, I was not an officer. I would have been sort of like a non-com at best.
Like a sergeant, though? If you had authority in the army and you're using intimidation, you will totally cow.
Yes, I did. I would say I probably would have had at least some, at least a sergeant's rank.
Tony, right, my disadvantage perception was an 18.
My disadvantage is 20.
Wow. Jonas, did you do something with yours after you resolved how you felt about his rank?
Oh, no. His intimidation completely works on me, and I back out of the room scared.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa. Drop and give me 20.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's got that Valente, air of authority.
Valente and...
Kaelin.
Kaelin, you are poking... We've got a Kaylee and a Kaelin. It's bad on my brain.
I've had canon that they're like siblings.
I believe.
Sure.
Kaylee.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You are poking around. You find he's got a big ring of keys that looks like it goes to the compartments in the cargo car. There's a nice kind of blueprint style map of the train that you are riding on. There's a wand of magic detection in like a nice fancy case that he probably used when he was supervising the loading on of passengers and of equipment into the cargo car. Other than that, not much here. You know, he's got a change of his civilian clothing, maybe one paperback book. Yeah.
I expect that the 30 intimidation might not be enough to dissuade them, but perhaps when they find nothing, they will be suitably chagrined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fontaine, anything else exciting that I've missed that they would have found in your...
I don't know, spare, like probably a civilian set of clothes, you know, non-uniform clothes, not much else. Mm-hmm. Very Spartan existence.
Yeah. No decorations in here.
No. This is for work.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied with your inspection? Perhaps we could return to the dining car.
I'm satisfied.
Mm.
I'll take the wand with me when I go then.
So I believe the wand would show up on your detect magic.
Thank you.
Kaelin.
So. Yeah. Detect magic. Recognizes magic.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey.
Game recognized game.
Anything else you want to do while you're in Fontaine's cabin?
No, but you know the galley's right here. We can get some food.
Yeah.
Yay!
I see that. Oh, the pretense.
I recommend the pretzels. They're great.
Some steampunk submarines.
I'm just stuffing things in the pockets of my
Now that we have satisfied your curiosity, perhaps you will satisfy mine. Why was Mr. Baker so content to let you live in his pool house without paying anything for all these years?
Well,
did you perhaps know something about him that he did not wish known by others?
Well, being around Mr. Baker always meant you knew things that others would not know. But what I would say is that he did me a kindness. I made a terrible mistake as a young man. And that terrible mistake should have led to my death. And it was only the kindness of Egan who vouched for me and my whereabouts. And the only reason I am still alive is because he allowed me to stay in his home or in the outbuilding behind his home for all of these years.
May I further inquire? Egan Baker, I think many of us would perhaps agree, not a man who typically acted out of the kindness of his own heart. What was in it for him in vouching for you?
I don't know if you're aware of his status, in his family status, in his status with the, what is it, with House Kenneth. Suffice it to say that the Eastern House of House Kenneth in Sharn, he was at odds with them. He was on the outs, and my indiscretion, by covering for me, he got some bit of revenge against the people in Sharn who hated him and did not allow him to have higher standing in his house. He bore a grudge from when he was very young against the house, particularly those in the house in Sharn, and therefore he did it out of spite, is what I'm saying. He protected me because we were friends and I would die without his protection, but also because of the spite, for sure.
That sounds like the Mr. Baker we all know.
Plus, I think I entertained him from time to time. I think he enjoyed having me around, but also the spite was always there. Did I mention the spite? He was a very spiteful man.
His favorite beverage.
So much spite.
And although he is of House Kenneth lineage, again, I do need to say that they hated him in Sharn, and he was never allowed to go to the Christmas party or what have you.
Ah, yes, no, never played in any of their fabled reindeer
games. In their reindeer games, indeed, indeed not.
And what was the nature of this youthful indiscretion? Did you murder somebody on a train?
Kaelin gives a meaningful look toward Valanthe and says, suffice it to say, I made a dangerous indiscretion.
Would you have called it a dangerous liaison?
If I had thought better of it, yes, I would have.
Were there any proposals that were indecent in any way?
Was there any heated bodies? I don't know any other
ways.
How fatal was this attraction?
You say this game was a reindeer game, but was it not a patriot game?
I assure you the only indecent proposal was that I should
be
murdered.
Were you on Christmas vacation?
And instead I was allowed to live in the pool house. I wish this was more exciting and relevant to the murder of my friend of many decades. But yes, yes, indeed.
Well, why did
I had
do
a bit
then?
Of an indiscretion and had to live in a pool house. That is what happened.
Fontaine seems weirdly to be touched by this revelation. He like puts a hand and like pats Kayla on the shoulders. There, son, we've all done things we are perhaps not proud of.
I'm just wondering
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about
if Valanthe has any
it's like that he's not proud of.
Is Valanthe reacting in any way to the fact that I've just outed a little story about her past too?
Yes, I just said a story that you're not proud of. Ooh. And I just shake my head.
The room turns around and looks at you.
And actually, Kaelin says, lying to you about my status was the greatest mistake of my life, and now all other mistakes came from that. And I've apologized so many times. I have been living in a pool house, so I feel like I've paid for it to a certain extent.
Seems like a pretty fancy pool house.
My closet smells like chlorine. My closet smells. Anyway, I'm not.
Just so everybody understands, this is a huge pool house.
Yeah, I hear sometimes they can fit a
room in his pool house.
There's like boats.
I hear sometimes they fit a boat.
His pool house has got a pool in it.
Every time the pool sweeper turns on, all the plumbing is in my wall and it's very loud. Mm-mm. I can't sleep.
I suppose since we've established,
I bet it is all steampunk, spitting steam everywhere.
It seems as though we have established many of our relationships with Mr. Baker, but one still remains questionable to me. And he's going to look at Kaylee and say, "If you were his potentially you and he had a relationship. Well, that is to say, you had
she
a
was his mistress.
Thank you,
Evelyn Baker makes a retching noise.
But you
and secretary
did not."
So indeed she did take care of all of his affairs.
You did not seem particularly
including the internal ones
broken up by his demise. In fact, you were with Professor Ardent over there instead. Why did you stay with him?
I was actually planning on leaving him when we got to the conference.
Says Evelyn.
He has bought my quiet. What's like?
Silence.
Silence!
Yes, thank you.
Silence!
He has bought my silence with many, many gifts, and I accepted those gifts, not realizing my own personal worth. And my plan after the conference was to leave with Professor Ardent and no longer be a bother to anyone in the Baker family.
You say about your silence of on what topic?
Evelyn says, I just want to say this here with everyone. Whoever the murderer is, I hope they kill her next.
How dare you? I have kept my silence on your relationship with him. You both hated each other. There's no wonder he went rambling around to wherever he went. He absolutely hated you. You were terrible.
But you did not seem to care for him either. I mean, what started you down the path of becoming his mistress if you did not particularly like him?
I was working for him, and he seduced me with presents.
Okay.
Who among us?
Defense for us.
Can I just say, I did not know this guy as long as the rest of you. He seemed fine. He let me into his home out of the goodness and decency of his heart.
Because he had no other heirs.
Still, each of you, look into your hearts. I walk in. You going to accept me? I don't think you would. She sure didn't, pointing at Evelyn. But this man, pointing at the clean tablecloth on top of the big bloody splotch.
Oh, we're in a different...
I think we're in a different car.
Yeah. Several carriages away, but you know. You
just point at the ground, yes. Then realize there's no body there.
Look, we all agree. On the train, you point corpseward. Corpseward, which is
I take a minute to remember which direction the dining car is. That man back there...
Roll Dungeoneering.
He accepted me. He left... And I don't know. I thought that was very generous of him. I thought he was an okay guy.
It seemed as though he must have had something to gain from. Is he? Are you officially assigned as his heir?
Since you bring it up, I turn to Evelyn. Any word on that will? I know this is an awkward time, but this is when one normally brings this sort of thing up. What are we doing here?
We do usually wait until after the funeral, but yes.
Jonas, I think we both know that you just arrived. There is little documentation as to your lineage, if any, and that...
Oh, I've got documentation, sister. Don't worry about
that. Well, I don't believe Egan has had a chance to revise his paperwork before his untimely demise.
Oh, then it's going to be more complicated then, huh? Any of you guys know a lawyer?
I do.
Is any of you a multi-class lawyer? If you are, you have to tell us.
Fontaine, there must be a lot of train divorces that go on.
Yeah, there's a train lawyer in the next cabin down.
You know, as the captain of a ship is authorized to marry people, but a conductor is authorized for divorces.
Canon.
Fontaine and Caitlin, attorneys at train.
And that gains inspiration for correct use of canon.
Fontaine, you asked, I don't think there is official documentation of him acknowledging me, but we all saw him acknowledge me.
Do we? I mean, he brought you along on a business trip, says this is...
why would he Henderson do that? Look at me. Why would anyone do that?
He lets this man live in his pool house, for God's sake.
Yeah, we learned all about that. He had a good...
He's as much an heir as you are, which is to say, not an heir.
Ms. Baker, Madam Baker, perhaps is there a will? Or perhaps Mr. Henderson, you are aware. Is there some document attesting to where Mr. Baker's fortune goes after his death?
Listen, if it comes down to it, I can get a will in 30 minutes once this train lands. So don't worry about that.
Perhaps I can present a piece of information that may help us understand this situation. I mentioned how at odds Egan was with House Caneth in Sharn. We are on a train to Fairhaven. He was intending to see if he could connect with House Caneth in Fairhaven, and the Baron there is a rival of the Baron back in Sharn. I don't know any more details about it, but he was very interested in the house in Fairhaven. I don't know if his rebuke of the house in Sharn would be a huge political move or an issue, or whether that he bringing his technology to Fairhaven was part of that plan. But that was my understanding of his plan, was to take this to House Caneth in Fairhaven. Maybe nobody cares. Anybody care? Dun, 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 dun.
I agree with that. I knew about that. I thought he told me that. Why would he tell me that if I wasn't his heir?
Jonas, how do you know, he is your father?
Found a stack of love letters. Picture. Who
is your mother?
And who is your mother?
My mother was a saint. She raised me all alone in a tiny Sharn slum because that man, my father, Egan Baker.
Points several cars back.
Yeah. That man.
Back there.
That man, Egan Baker, abandoned me. He abandoned us. She had to raise me all alone. I had to make my way in the world all alone. I go to a war. I become a hero. After the war, I'm trying to make my way through the world. My dear sweet mother dies. I go home. I look through her things. I find these letters. These are letters from Egan Baker. They prove definitively he's my father. I take the letters to him. He says, "You're right. These prove without a shadow of a doubt that I am your father and you are my son."
Oh, I think we can all agree that making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
Exactly.
I don't believe that he would write letters and provide them for his affair.
It was a while ago. He was a different man 35 years ago. He was in love with my mother until I was born, and then he was out of there.
Why, if he left you and abandoned you, why would he take you in later? Why would you let him? Do you not resent him for abandoning you?
A little, yes, but also he's very rich. Listen, I am going to be entirely upfront about this. Finding out that you are the heir to a very rich person who dies conveniently? I didn't know the guy. I kind of liked him, and that seems like more than the rest of you did. I'm not broken up about this. This is great for me.
Which seems
Let me tell you, I have no magic spell that will tell me for sure that this is his son. I can only tell you there was a baby, and I saw that baby, and it was Egan's baby. So if this is not, if this is not his heir, there is an heir somewhere. So it might be this fellow. It might very well be. And Egan thought that too.
Yeah. Did you know his mother? Did you catch the baby?
It was so long ago.
Tony, wait. Somebody said I.
Wait.
I might know who his mother is, which is why I want to know what is the name of your mother? Because.
What? Okay, both of you say it on the count of three.
What? All right.
My family, aside from being theater people, we fix things.
They do.
And Egan asked me to fix a little problem that was this baby, and I paid off the mother.
Seems to have grown up into a big problem.
So, yes, I paid off the mother of this child to go away and leave. So, I don't know. Your mother may have been living in a slum, but she should have had money from me.
Her name was
and Egan.
Her name was Matheria.
Hmm. It's interesting.
And?
That's a weird answer for that.
Now you say.
Different lady.
Was the woman you paid off named
It was
Matheria?
Through, it, well, it was through channels, and I don't
So you don't
I
even
don't
know
her
name.
What?
I just know what? She. I what gave her money. So why is your mother living in a slum?
Well, she's not now. She's dead, but thanks for bringing that up. It's super nice of you. You know, I'm an orphan, by the way. I think we could all take a moment to think about that.
Technically now, yeah.
Perhaps Kaylin had the name, but I just was the delivery service.
Tony?
The delivery of the
Do I know anything
baby,
here?
Too?
I don't know. Maybe I know the name. I don't
know. You know, I mean, this would have been more than 20 years ago, Kaylin, right? But
who remembers your lifelong friend who had a secret baby with a lady?
The baby mama's
who remembers any of that?
Should we... What yeah, about Mrs. Like Baker? Does she remember?
Eight seasons back on this guy's soap opera life. Nobody remembers any of it. Evil twins.
Kaylin, up to you. I don't know if you would have known. I mean, it sounds like he was not exactly proud of this relationship. So,
well, but I saw the baby. That's all I can tell you. I do remember seeing the baby.
Did the baby have any interesting birthmarks?
It was a baby, man. I don't know what to tell you. Just a baby.
Wasn't even that cute.
Thanks, Kaylin.
It's okay.
It was kind of stocky and chubby, but you know this. So is this
giant
guy.
Giant hands. So,
you know. It's believable. But...
Shape very similar.
Memory, yeah,
so it might have been a boy.
The baby just has huge hands that you keep forgetting.
This is great.
Well, we've concluded nothing. But we've uncovered a lot of skeletons in the closet.
We should have gone to the galley a long time ago.
That's where all the secrets come out, in the galley.
It's because of the food.
You know, all murder mysteries and eventually end up in the kitchen. It's just like a good party. Yeah. Should you return to the dining car?
Guess.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to conduct here?
Why are you looking at me?
That's the conductor.
Yeah, conductor.
More food.
Fine, maybe take some snacks from the galley and we'll go back to the dining car.
All right. Kaylin, as you are heading out, you know, you've still got your detect magic going. You get like a little ping. Blip.
From?
It seems like the direction of kind of the, there's some like staff toilets between the galley and the conductor's cabin. Seems like there might be something magic in there.
Who's near me?
Who is near Kaylin when this happens?
Probably me, since he was with me.
All right, I'm gonna say to the conductor, and everyone else can hear this too. Hold on a second. I'm getting a ping of magic from in here.
Yeah, to be fair, Kaylin Coldew says that all the time. I'm getting a ping of magic, man.
No. Really?
I'll be right back.
All right.
I'm going to go downtown to get it.
Are you a cop? You have to tell me if you're a cop.
These are the staff toilets.
Well, open this one. There's something in there.
All right. I will open it.
All right. There's basically kind of a little, you know, it's a tiny little, you know, basically like cubby with a toilet and a little sink. You know, basically imagine the train version of an airport bathroom. It's an airplane bathroom, even worse than an airport bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of cold, as if it's not insulated from the elements. And you can sense that there's some magical item like tucked like behind the toilet as if concealed.
All right, I instruct the conductor to fish it out of there.
Ah, get his fingerprints all
it's
over.
It's behind, though, right? It's not inside.
Yeah. No, behind. Behind.
Okay. Behind. Yeah, like behind. Where you would tape a gun if you were.
Yeah, exactly.
To do this all.
Why do you say that? Why is that your
Where would you tape a gun, Tony?
No, Dan or if cannoli. Not, both of them could be taped there.
You got to leave the cannoli.
Yeah.
Take the gun.
All right.
So, final respect there. What do all I, right, what do I there. Produce?
It feels like a bundle of cloth. Kind of damp bundle of cloth.
I will unwrap it in plain view of Kaelin.
All right. Whoever's peering. And I guess probably most of you had probably stopped to see what was going. Yeah. We'll say that Evelyn and Leopold were the first to be heading back, and they turn around to look at you. And Fontaine unfurls from the bathroom. It seems to be a fancy glimmer weave dress soaked with blood.
So I found this using detect magic, Tony. So what is magical about this dress?
Does detect magic tell you what is magical about the dress?
Or I think it would be called some other
name.
Oh
no!
Spell.
It only senses the presence of magic. So could I think about what might be magical via sort of a roll mechanism?
Yeah, give me an arcana check.
I think identify would tell you.
I'm gonna ask people to be very, very careful with the exact wording of all their spells that they use today, because I think things get real nitpicky in terms of what you
need
do
identify.
And don't learn.
Identify right, yeah. would tell you what an object is or does.
15 arcana check.
Well, I think you can conclude that that dress is magic.
I have a +7 arcana, which might help.
So we're all looking at the dress now.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the dress.
It's
like
clearly
well, he's looking at the magical properties. I'd like to investigate the blood.
All right. it is already kind of faded.
So 13 investigation. Yeah, can I tell how long ago it was or any other salient details?
All right, give me a second. Well, what kind of check did you do?
I did investigation.
Why don't you do a medicine check if you want to investigate blood?
Cool. I'm great at medicine by that. I mean, -1. I got a 12. Slightly less good, but around the same.
All right. I would encourage other people to think about what they're doing. Otherwise, I'll assume that you're all just kind of milling around looking at these people who are in turn looking at a dress. So Fontaine, the blood stained on this fancy dress has already changed from kind of red to brown, indicating that this blood is probably several hours old.
And given that this dress was hidden here, it seems likely that it was hidden maybe not only because it was, you know, obviously a clue, but also because obviously the person was wearing it at some point. Do we have any recollection of any of the people on the train wearing, does it look familiar at all?
I will say I'll count your investigation check as that. Other people who want to think about that could do an investigation check.
Can you also describe the dress a little?
Yeah.
All we know so far is dress and blood. Well,
okay, sorry, I'm not Tim Gunn.
Color. White and gold, black and blue. What's the deal with this dress?
What would you wear with it? What kind of accessories, Tony?
Well, just, you know, whatever you're thinking, -1, Dan.
My usual role for getting dressed.
The dress, it does seem almost to defy description, and yet I tried. It is kind of shimmery and seems to catch the light in different ways, though there is a bunch of blood kind of really ruining that effect splashed on the front of it. It does seem like the blood has been, the dress itself is physically intact. It does not seem like the wearer of the dress was probably the source of the blood, but that somebody else's blood ended up on the dress. So whoever this dress belonged to, they're probably fine. Good news, everybody. The murderer is
okay. Thank goodness.
If the dress catches the light, can we see it?
Probably. If it didn't catch the light, it would be invisible, I think is the premise of this.
Yes. Jonas, as you're looking at it, it's kind of shimmery and seems to kind of almost give off kind of a different light or different colors as the light plays over it in kind of a neat kind of spectrum kind of effect. It's very fancy.
Well, I rolled
All right. Sorry, go ahead.
I rolled a 2 on my Arcana check, so I know nothing.
Yes, you know that Kaylin thinks this dress is magic. Kaylin, did you roll something else? I forget. Have I resolved the stack of rolls that people made?
Yeah, I rolled something and it was bad. So there.
So we just gloss over it.
And was there any familiarity? Did the dress look familiar? Had it been seen at any point previously on the journey?
You rolled
was this leftover from a previous train ride?
Somebody else was murdered. 13 investigation. Fontaine, you don't think you've seen this dress before. It is very fancy.
Someone wore it for the purpose of murdering someone.
Tony, I have a question about the two female identified members of the PC group. Okay. What race are they? Are they both humans?
I believe Kaylee is a halfling. Kaylee, is that correct?
Yes.
And Annette, can you remind us?
I am an Arctic druid, an Arctic elf.
I would like to employ my knowledge of height to determine which of these people this dress would most likely go on.
All right, make also a wife.
Make a height check.
Evelyn Baker over in the
Evelyn
corner.
Baker.
Yeah. I would also point out, I have seen enough crime stories to know that just because it's a dress does not necessarily mean it was somebody female who was wearing
that. Is also some classic Scottish wisdom there.
well, I mean, if you haven't been there, don't know what to tell
you. For example, it probably, I mean, if it fits Kaylee, it probably doesn't fit Jonas, right?
Right, so Tony, what kind of dress is this? Is it a halfling-sized dress or a medium-sized humanoid-sized dress?
Make me a quick investigation check. That is the closest for dress.
Dress check?
Just check. Check.
Maybe the dress comes down to the knees on one and is a high dress on another.
12. You are not certain, Jonas, and it does even, I'm going to be very generous here. It occurs to you that some magical objects are capable of changing size and dimensions to fit the wearer.
I'm going to be honest, if all it is a dress that automatically fits whoever puts it on, that's plenty of magic. This thing is going to make a million gold pieces.
Does anyone else want to attempt to identify the dress or what's going on?
Yes,
with the dress?
I do.
All right. Didn't you try and fail?
Oh, was that what I was trying? No, I was trying before I was trying to see if I had seen it on anybody before, and I failed that one.
Okay.
Do I, am I out? Tell me if I shouldn't roll anything.
Roll an Arcana check.
Nope.
Okay. Good time.
I would like to.
Roll Arcana. I can speak today.
We know nothing about fashion. That's what we're learning.
12.
You're not sure.
No.
Does seem like it's magical.
I will now see if I can roll higher than a 12. And I rolled 17.
So, Valente, you're an Arctic elf. You're a complicated person with a backstory that we have not fully explored yet. You recognize that this dress is specifically a glamour weave dress, which is a magical object. And specifically, a glamour weave dress, or any object potentially made out of glamour weave, is very fancy clothing, very expensive, and indeed magical, because it is basically imbued with magic that allows it to change its cosmetic form and function, both structure, color, texture, what have you. So, you know, sure, the glamour weave dress costs as much as, I don't know, 1,000 regular dresses, but it can be 1,000 regular dresses, because it can take on almost any type of look, limited only by the imagination of the wearer.
But you still need to have more than one, especially if you get it covered in blood. So, a 1,000 dresses is probably a better deal.
Two I don't one. Hate the splatter of blood, if I'm being honest. That looks great.
And it really accentuates the design.
Isn't that a little bit suspicious?
The distressed look.
Can't you glamour the blood off of it then?
Well, no, you just make the dress a sort of dark red.
Nothing more glamorous than some blood.
It is totally possible to remove blood from fabric, even magic fabric. Perhaps it suggests to you, Valente, that somebody was in a hurry and did not have time or inclination or access to do that and needed to hide away a dress in a rush.
Caitlin, well, if it was me, did a magic thing earlier. Out of the window.
Hang on.
This is important. Caitlin, Mr. Cool Dude there, you did a thing to that blanket.
Prestidigitation.
Removed it of blood.
Indeed. Very simple spell.
But you didn't. If you was wearing this dress, you didn't do it to that. Good sanity.
I try not to do extra work, but you're right. If I killed somebody, I would probably prestidigitate away the evidence. And
unless it was intended as a red herring to point the evidence to someone else.
No.
Caitlin right. may not have been the first That's, person we suspect Le- of Le- wearing Leopold, such a dress.
Leopold Henderson V says, I don't know herrings, but it's very red.
You're ruined, sir.
If it was...
I'm ruined!
If it was me, as I think we've established, I'd have thrown it out the window. So... Yeah.
Has anybody seen this dress before? Is anybody familiar with it?
Well, if it could look like any dress, I don't know if I've seen it before.
It does occur to me that one member of this assembled party, when we initially discovered Mr. Baker's body, was notably without a piece of clothing, perhaps having disposed of it in a hurry.
No, because you came with me back to the room where we got dressed.
Indeed, but how many pieces of clothing might you have brought on this trip? More than one, presumably, but you may still have been attempting.
How many pieces of clothing did you bring, sir?
I am the conductor. I am wearing a uniform.
Do you need to have a dress specifically for murder?
That's fine. I'm just trying to narrow it down.
Hey, Dan, can you check Slack for a second?
Sure thing.
It's possible you're being murdered right now.
No. In a big room, together.
There's some things happening. People are rolling dice behind the scenes. People are passing notes. You know, hey, if you were dead, you'd probably know right now if you check Slack.
Am I looking in the right channel?
Oh, phew, I'm not dead.
Probably not dead.
Okay, so, sorry, continue your berating of each other.
Merely an observation that if we are looking for someone who did not have a piece of clothing, that points in a certain direction, but I'm not suggesting that that is the only explanation. If you have an alternative, I'm more than willing to hear it.
It's entirely possible that somebody... Like, just because I was not wearing clothes at that moment does not mean...
Why were you not wearing clothes at that moment?
Why was I? Is that what you said?
Yes.
This is a family show.
Yes. I think we established why.
I can certainly provide an alibi.
You're supposed to say it.
I mean, Jason, right. This is your network.
I mean...
I think he's just looking for you to say secret lover.
You were in, you left you were busy in your cabin and not wearing anything and ran out
yes.
having heard the scream. Is that what
yes,
you're saying?
That would be accurate, correct.
And Professor, although you say you can provide an alibi for this, you have admitted that it is possible she could have left your cabin without your notice.
Indeed.
I don't think so. And certainly at that point in the morning where she was bereft of clothing, I was fully aware of her movements.
So you are saying that you can completely account for her absence between the time that you retired last evening and the time the body was discovered this morning. You can vouch for her 100%.
I mean, I can vouch for her 99%. I mean, were you asleep during the night?
Yes. But I didn't have, I freely admit there was nobody there to vouch for my.
So what I'm hearing here is you don't have
this
an alibi.
This is called
and
redirection.
We do.
Oh, my.
You have offered yourself up as an alibi, is what you are saying.
I truthfully stand before you. And, you know, to the best of my knowledge, 99%, yes.
All right.
What were you doing, Dan? Fontaine.
I retired for the evening to my cabin after having walked up the galley and closed up. And then I came out to do my rounds in the morning, and I discovered the body, as we all know. I freely admit that being asleep during a few hours in the night, nobody can vouch for that, but there you are.
Do you perhaps sleep murder?
If I did,
it's a legitimate medical condition.
I'll tell you who would be on the top of my list if I did.
wow.
But you have yet to establish any reason. And as I've said before, if I were to wish violence upon Egan, I would have done it to his face, not shot him in the back like a coward.
I turn to Kaili and ask her directly, is this your dress?
No.
I think she said no, but I didn't hear.
She said no silently.
Freaking with my no,
Tony.
Yeah, all right, all insight on that,
Tony. Yeah, yeah. Can I try to see if I perceive her as lying or telling the truth?
I rolled a zero. All right, sounds great to me.
I rolled a 24.
Oh. You feel confident that she is telling the truth?
Do I?
Feel confident of anything?
Yes, and
more
Jason.
Confident than Dan. Fontaine Dan.
What did you ask a question?
No, I was just saying.
Okay.
More confident than you?
I turn to Valente and say, do you know about this, the source of this dress?
No, it's not my dress. I have one like this, but mine's not covered in blood.
Do you have it on the train, madam?
Yeah, it's in my suitcase.
Would you care to produce it for us?
Sure.
That sounds like a good idea. Field trip!
What is that, insight, Tony?
Do you want to roll insight?
I do. Only a 13.
Okay. You feel confident that Valente is being honest with you.
I would still like to see the dress just to, because it's possible somebody stole it from your.
All right. This is where we get worried about train geography. You are currently in the galley car. You have not so far, except for obviously the conductor has in his routines in the previous day, but most of you have not been further up train from here. That you know, the next carriage up train is the second class, and then then the cargo, and then the engine itself. So down train from you are the first class, a first class cabin, the dining car, and then another first class cabin, and I believe that. Valente, your cabin is in just the next cabin.
Next one over.
I don't know. Next one over. So all of you want to head there? Or some of you want to head there? Who wants to head there?
I will definitely go.
Do you want to split up to cover more ground?
Given that, do more damage that way.
To ourselves?
I'm definitely going to examine the dress. I would encourage the rest of them to come with me, but I've seen there are, you know, if people
I will
object,
come along.
All right. That just makes them suspicious, I guess, is my point.
Is everybody coming?
Well, got... You know. Oh, sorry.
Nope. I don't know.
Currently, it looks like no.
No, the rest of you are staying? So far, it's me, Athor, and Valente.
Okay.
So long as we've got more than two people at any one time.
Yeah, thank okay. You. No, I'll stay behind.
Oh, Kaelin's okay.
I'm not gonna go if it's not a whole group going, but we'll let them go.
Otherwise we're gonna come back and there's gonna be just blood everywhere.
And I'm gonna go over after they're gone, I'm gonna go over to this door and see if he's locked it or if it does lead to the second class cap.
I'll lock that door before I leave.
No.
No, are you not already? Left? So, well, I mean, and I think we'll have to, you know, conductor, I'm going to ask you to be real clear about which doors are being locked, especially, you know, people may not wish to be locked in a galley with or without a murderer.
That's where all the food is. What's the problem? Yeah. There's food? There's a toilet. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. All right. Point. So, Fontaine, Athel Ardent, the scholar, and Valente, the Ice Queen, head out of here. And we're saying you don't lock the door behind you.
Is there only? So, I'm a little unclear about the, coming to geography again. So there is. I wish there was an overall map that just showed the order of the cards.
I know.
That would be nice.
It's okay. I put in the Slack a thing.
I would like to lock the doors behind me. But I don't remember if the other door to the galley was locked, like the door that I'm leaving through.
All right. So, Dan, let me just, Fontaine, spell it out for you. You have entered the galley from a first class cabin, right? I noted that you did not lock it on your way in behind you. You know that at the end of the galley, there is a door that goes to second class, which is locked and secured to your knowledge.
All right. And so in far, that case, I will leave that one locked, and I will leave the door behind me unlocked then.
All right.
Because that one is never unlocked, so there's only one way for them to go.
Yes. Okay. So you head into first class. You're followed by Valente and Athor Ardent. As you're making your way into the first class cabin, you notice coming the other way down the train in your direction, apparently he had not been in the galley in a little while, is Jonas Baker.
Huh.
Also, Mr. it looks Baker. Like possibly somebody has, you noticed that the door leading at the end of the first class cabin, leading back into the dining car, looks like it may have taken some damage to it.
Mr. Baker, you were not in the galley with us.
No, was I supposed to be? What y'all doing down there?
You
tried to solve a murder.
And then you left without alerting anyone, which seems most suspicious. Can I ask where you have gone?
I was collecting my gun.
The people murder weapon.
My inheritance. People keep trying to throw it out
the
windows.
The murder weapon.
I didn't throw the gun out the window.
You were stopped from throwing the gun out the window.
That's true.
And you kept saying how you wanted to throw the gun out the window. And you
also
kept,
true.
Like looking at the gun and then looking at the window and like.
Also true.
You could see all I'm saying is.
And going, and then there'd be a little
truthfully,
cartoon over your head of the gun, like, flying out the window.
My lawyer has instructed me to say I did not throw that gun out the window.
All right.
Do you have the gun on you right now?
No, I put it in my room.
We will check on that afterwards, just to be assured of it.
More of a field trip, I guess.
You're doubting whether I... Okay.
Yes, 100%.
Yes, you're skulking around a train with a gun. This is not the act of a
I do not object
man.
to the item being secured somewhere,
great.
Perhaps even within your cabin, but I would like to vouch for its whereabouts with the rest of this group so that at least multiple people know of its location, not just you.
Okay.
But first, we will talk to Madame Valente and confirm the existence of her dress.
All right. Madame Valente?
I see. So I assume I go in my room and I open my luggage. I rummage
through it.
Oh, I ask
that we keep the door open. Well, like we'll stand in the hallway, but keep
That's
the
fine.
Door open.
I have nothing
while
to hide,
that.
Including, I assume I pull out a dress.
Yeah. A very fancy dress.
Similar, glamour but not dress. Covered in blood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all kind of shimmery and spectrum-y. Perhaps, I mean, you own and therefore probably know how to operate this glamour weave dress, so perhaps you could, if mm-hmm. you wanted, just show its magical transformation processes.
Sure, I transform it into various forms of blue and white dresses yeah. to show you how fashionable I can be.
Could you walk up and down there?
Gold. Yes.
Now make it be white and gold.
I do it. Mm. Anything, any other
Most
requests?
Most impressive.
Also, I'd like to point out that it can just be, it's not just a dress. Sometimes it can look like men's clothing, too.
Ah, most interesting. Thank you, madam. That is
no problem.
Enlightening. Mr. Baker, if you wouldn't care for to lead us to your cabin for a moment so that we may ascertain the location of your weapon.
One question.
Just one question. Just one more question.
Can that be turned into a conductor's uniform?
I suppose so, and I
Great.
Try it.
Let's go to my room. Cabin, excuse me. Train guy.
Meanwhile, back in the galley, Leopold Henderson V is, you know, not doing great. Evelyn Baker, the wife, also a distraught. Kaylin Coldude, keeping it on cool. And Kaylee, secret lover, keeping it secret. How are things in the galley? What do you want to do?
I am staying far away from Kaylin because he obviously doesn't believe me, but also very, very far away from the wife.
All right. Kaylin Coldude, what do you want to do in the galley?
I want to talk to the wife and see if there's anything that she has not said that that she might know about this. I'm basically going to try to get some more information out of her if there's anything else left for her. You know, basically trying to say that we're the ones who really cared about this and it affects us the most because we lived in the house. And I want to try to figure out who killed him and does she have anything she can say to help that she hasn't said publicly yet.
All right. You head over to the wife. She looks basically physically ill at this point. Mm-hmm. Kaylin, you know I never could have done it. The sleeping draught, that was just it was to keep him away from Kaylee. You understand, right?
Yes, but who else do you think who else could have done this? Why who would have possibly had a motive to kill Egan other
well,
than you?
Also, it seems like everyone else. Look.
Yeah.
There's something going on here. The conductor. There is more than to him than it seems. I saw him having conversations with Egan before on the train. They have known each other clearly for some time.
Yes. I think we know.
But also
some of that.
This lost heir, Jonas, he could be anybody.
He could. There was a baby, and we did pay his mother to go away, but we have no proof that this is actually that baby grown up.
That could be somebody he met, somebody he was in the war with or in prison with, or someone he killed. Maybe he's left a string of bodies on his way to the Baker fortune, and we're just the next bodies in the string.
Insight check, Tony?
Sure.
She's an NPC, doesn't mean she gets a 12.
Yeah, I don't think you have any reason. She seems to believe her words
pretty
sincerely. She seems afraid of what's going on here. I'm concerned that I am not going to make it to the end of the line.
I'm going to lead her back because I want her to. She needs to find a place to sit down. I'm concerned about her because she does look so ill. I don't unless there's a comfy place here in the galley. I could
not. It's not that kind of galley.
All right. Then I'm gonna take her back through the first class cabin and either sit her down in there or her back to the dining car or take her back to her car. But I want to get her out of here because she is.
All right. Probably don't take her to the car where her dead husband is.
Well, we may have to go through there to get to her.
Yeah.
Cabin. We'll see. We'll see.
Yep.
Want to go to the second class cabin for God's sake.
No. Also, the second class cabin
declare.
It's occupied. So.
I think that puts us in the first class cabin.
Yes.
Where the other
you make going. Your way into
we'll
the first class
the
cabin.
Second class passengers to cargo.
They love that. sorry,
Kylie and Leopold are left alone together.
Your tickets on the train have been impacted. So you head into the first class cabin on your way further back toward the more comfortable parts of the train, and are somewhat surprised to find that the people who went to search Valente's cabin are not there.
Hmm. Well, gonna do a quick detect magic.
All right.
Any magic?
You know, you pick up a similar hint of some kind of magical item coming from Valente's cabin, possibly from some of the other cabins, but certainly from Valente's cabin.
And is the door open?
No.
I open the door to Valente's cabin.
It's a fancy cabin. You've been there before.
I have been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing magical.
How many of those detect magics you got left there, Jason?
It's at will, man.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to assume that the only magic I'm detecting here is the familiar shape / scent of the magic dress.
Yeah, I think so. Do you want to search this cabin?
Yes.
Okay. Evelyn Baker stands in the doorway watching you search Valente's cabin, a bit taken aback, but also maybe this is the right thing to do. What is right, what is wrong here on the Everon Express? So you are searching the cabin. You know, it's full of various fancy things. Valente is a woman of status and privilege with all the accoutrements that go along with it.
And I would say I spent time in this cabin, so I sort of know what stuff I needed to look in. Yeah.
Yeah. As you're poking around, you do discover an old letter from Egan Baker to Valente, thanking her for her assistance with that discretion way back when. And promising that she will be well compensated in the future for her loyalty to the or for her service to Egan Baker. You think, and you know, there is a date from many years back that more or less lines up with your timeline,
right?
Your memory of those events. So,
yeah.
Of all people, whereas other people might be a little bit mystified by that, you get what it is.
Yep.
So
I put it all back.
Yep. Meanwhile, in the very back cabin, I'm just going to swap you people around on the map a little bit since we kind of have one first class cabin map. You have made your way to the final cabin, and I decided you all went because it made it more mysterious for Kaelin that he went into a cabin. You were gone. So, Fontaine, Athor, Valente, and Jonas, you have made your way back through the dining car to the final first class cabin at the behest of Fontaine, I believe.
Indeed. I believe we requested to see the pistol that Jonas took from the dining car.
Go to my cabin, open it up, walk in. I think I probably just shoved the gun under my pillow on the bed.
Yep.
Just it. There you go. See? Right here.
Very well.
No charges in it, I think. Is this how you... it looks like there's no charges in it, right? I don't know how to operate this thing yet.
Yep.
Can I just inspect that?
Sure, here you go.
I eye the window. Look at the eyes.
That thing goes out the window. You're following it, pal.
I just put a picture in the Slack for anyone who's curious what this weird steampunk little pistol looks like. All right, so Athor, I don't know if there's anything for you to learn from it. At this point,
I just want to make sure that this is the gun and is not some...
It is. If it is not the exact gun, it is an extremely convincing replica, and you—I mean—that would certainly be well beyond Jonas's ability to create.
I hand it back to him with the barrel pointing towards him, rather than the handle of the gun pointing towards him.
I pick it
roll
up
with roll gun the point,
handle,
yeah.
like I think the barrel is the handle.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of wielding it like a club now.
Yeah.
very worried about what he did in the wars. All right. Well, that I am satisfied that the pistol is here. I request that we lock, obviously, your cabin, and just be aware that you may be required to turn it over to the authorities when we reach our destination as the evidence in the murder investigation.
Could
you
we
may deal with them after that. It's not my responsibility, but as long as it's on the train, I request that it be left there under lock.
Could we secure the gun in the cargo hold?
Nah. I'll put it into my footlocker and lock my footlocker.
All right.
Yeah, but we know your code is 1111.
It's unloaded, so
Jonas,
I'm not sure.
Jonas, I don't know how. There's a footlocker. I'll assume that you had that kind of with you as a military type person, because I don't think there is much in terms of lock and key storage here. So let me just check: is your footlocker? I assume it's basically kind of a bulky trunk, heavy. Probably somebody, you know, more diminutive would have a hard time maneuvering it, especially around on a train. Combination lock or key lock?
I like the combination lock and 1111. That all seems accurate.
All right. So be it. I will tell you, Fontaine, I guess do we think cabins on a train, cabins on a first-class train, locking doors? Yes or no?
The doors to the compartments?
Yeah.
I would assume they have
people who have traveled on trains more than I have.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think?
Yes. Generally locked from the inside, but
yeah,
not locked from the outside.
Okay, because they're not issues.
No, because you wouldn't leave your stuff behind.
Well, I guess you're right.
And certainly it seems as though the conductor would have to have access. I mean, it may be lockable with keys the conductor has, and I don't know how you would handle that for...
And I will tell you, as you pass through this way, you know, Fontaine, you had not left the door into the galley locked. We confirmed that. You had probably locked several other doors along the way. Somebody, we don't know who, clearly has broken those doors, or at least locking mechanisms on those doors.
In the direction that Jonas came from, basically, when he met us.
Jonas, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yep.
Could you explain to me the what happened to these locks on these doors, Mr. Baker? I'm going to roll intimidation on that because I know that he's intimidated by me.
All right.
I'm going to use up one of my superiority die to add to that too. So that's a 12.
Both of them 19. Have superiority doors.
We'll get it back in short rest. This whole adventure is a short rest.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, that's fine. 19 intimidation.
I didn't know these was locked. That door just came and telling came open like tissue paper in my hands. I just walked right through it.
Son, you may have to pay restitution with your new inheritance to the lightning rail to repair their locks.
Oh, that's fine. Just bill it to the Baker family, of which I am the heir.
We will discuss this when we reach our destination. Are these locks totally unusable now, Tony?
I would think so.
So great. Which locks has he broken?
The one between the dining car and the first class car that my cabin was in. Dan definitely locked that at some point, and I definitely just broke it.
Okay.
I mean, think at this point,
just broke it.
I would say at this point, you had to go from the galley to the back car. And I think any door that was locked between there and that, which is now broken. So I think at this point, it is the only... You know, the back half of the train is an open air entity for murder. The train to the from the galley into second class is locked. And you know, Fontaine, you would know the train from the door from cargo into the engine room is particularly protected and would not, you know, is in fact has it's got like it's steel and it's got an anti-magic spell on it because you know the train takes seriously not being hijacked. If the people in first class choose to murder each other left and right, that's on them.
Is that true of the door into the cargo hold as well?
Let me just check here.
Into the engine from the cargo hold.
Yeah, it has the whole key chain with the extra keys on it for the cargo hold. I think
the door from cargo into the engine is particularly reinforced and with an anti-magic field.
But second class into cargo
I think that's just a door.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
It's probably more of a, you know, I imagine the doors between the various first class cabins and the dining car that somebody who looks like Jonas just broke. They're like fancy doors and they're like, you know, they're elegant. They've got like little like glass windows and, you know, they were probably more for style than for security. I'm going to say the second class door and the door between second class and cargo, probably a little bit sturdy, a little bit more function. And I mean, in part, probably, you know, you don't want any of those second class people getting into first class, right?
Tony, not that I want to jump back too much in time here, but I did have a question about when Jonas made the show of handing the or taking the gun and not seeming to know how it works. Is it possible to assess whether or not that was sort of a put on?
Roll investigation or I don't know, roll perception.
Because I do know, given that I know he was a soldier of some kind in the war, is that reasonable that he would actually not know anything about how that gun works? That was a 20.
I'm going to say you feel pretty confident that, you know, whatever, you know, and I don't know if we know, you know, you don't have his whole portfolio in front of you here, but it's possible that the Lost Heir was a little bit more acquainted with, say, blades and swords and whatnot, and not firearms.
Can I make a deception
check? Yeah, sure. He rolled a 20, so I was being generous.
Yeah, but I think it's fun for to let me fail at stuff.
Yeah.
I rolled a 15.
I agree. It is fun. Would you like to add anything based on that failure, Monty?
You clearly saw him pause and decide to pick up the gun with the barrel. Just the way I said it in the game.
Got it. Got it.
That was his mental thought. Like, you saw the thought bubble say, oh, I know. I'll trick them.
Ding. Yes. Got it. So definitely not ruling him out. Great.
Okay.
We have ruled nobody
nothing out.
Yeah.
I ruled Kaelin out.
We are. I have not ruled him out, but he is the one that I'm least suspicious of. All right. Well, I suppose we should rejoin the rest of the party.
Well, this is happening. Anything? Let's see. So, Kaelin, you are with Evelyn Baker. We'll say you've at this point made your way into the dining car and positioned her on a bench that is not directly looking into the eyes of her dead husband or the sheet that covers those eyes. Kaelin, you and Leopold Henderson, I guess, are just still hanging out in the galley. Anything people want to be doing? All right,
I'm going to head back to the galley because I do not trust this Leopold Henderson V. I've heard things about him.
So some of you will reassemble in the dining car and some of you are still in the galley. How's that? Is that where people want to be?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I want to intercept the conductor and Valente.
Okay.
And chat with them for a second.
All right.
Am I still with them?
Yeah, I think so. You're all in the dining car.
All right, I'm gonna drop something that I know, which is Valente, I know that you and your family, I know you've been telling this story about your theater background, but I know that you and your family are involved with assassins. And this was an assassination. And I'm concerned that that you have something to do with this as an assassination, and I wonder if perhaps the murderer hid the dress on their way to second class because you had perhaps an assassin. Is this a job? Are you on a job? Was this a job? He says.
It was not a job. You are right. I have not made this public knowledge because
we need to talk about this now.
You know. Yes. Well, you know that because I was going to kill you some time ago, but I politely didn't.
She spared me.
I didn't.
I got a letter right here. No, I didn't. I kept it in her.
It's liar.
It's in her suitcase, and she doesn't know that I went through the suitcase. But anyway,
you say this was an assassination. This was an amateur job. If I had done this, you wouldn't have even known that it was a murder or assassination. And I only do it for money, and nobody paid me for this.
Interesting. So I like this. So you, as somebody who knows about assassinations, look at this and say this is definitely
an amateur job.
Amateurish.
Whoever did this did not know. They
They left, like, the body out there and the gun and everything. There's too much evidence. I would have been... I'm a professional. I would have been much more secretive about this.
I'd have been a much better murderer as a career.
It's true. I would be. I am a much better murderer than this.
That's kind of my story, if you think about it. Like, if I'd killed this guy, he'd be way more dead than just a couple of holes in him.
All right, so we've got... I do think that goes to the root of the murder here, which is that the gun wasn't taken, even though it's of incredible value.
Yeah.
There was never any attempt to hide anything here.
But he's there was also there was no confrontation, right? I mean, again, not to totally bolster Jonas's story because I have some concerns about it, but it seems as though he could have easily killed him in ways that would not have required shooting him in the back.
Sleeping draft, if he was passing out or mm-hmm. certainly unwary, and he was shot from behind. So it seems to me that there was not a confrontation at all, and nor was this something that was an actual attempt to be, you know, of thievery, because the gun was laid there. So I suspect it was either a crime of passion or a much longer game in terms of the value of the gun being available later, if it was even part of this murder.
Mm-hmm.
Which does point me towards two suspects in particular, but I will not necessarily divulge which ones. We'll see if they incriminate themselves.
Is that your inner monologue, or did you say that out loud?
A little bit of muttering to myself.
Okay, all right.
Two
suspects. Do we hear this?
I do. Mr. Cool Dude,
Cool Dude. It's pronounced Cool Dude.
Cool Dowd, yes.
Kalen, please. Kalen.
Dowd.
Dude, Kalen. Just call me Kalen, man. Dude, Kalen.
Kalen, man.
he just talks like this. It's okay. You get used to it.
It's fine. It's fine.
I feel that perhaps you and I have seeing some eye to eye here. I suspect it seems as though you don't have much to gain by Mr. Baker's murder.
I have a lot to lose. Yes, pool house. Indeed.
Which
he was also perhaps my life, because... As Valenti just pointed out, like, he was protecting me from very powerful forces that at least many years ago wanted me dead. And the deal was struck that I could be protected and under his protection. With him gone, I feel like I'm perhaps in danger, and certainly in danger of losing my apartment at the pool house. So, yeah, it's not great for me.
I do not know if you have come to any particular conclusions or suspicions, but there are a few passengers.
Do we go off in the corner now? Just the two of us?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where you're
going. Where are y'all going?
You're on the other end of the car. We're going for a snack. You wouldn't be interested.
I go over to Jonas then, and I'll just hang out with Jonas while you guys go off and confer.
Yeah, maybe we step through the doors into the first class.
That seems reasonable.
Just to have this conversation.
A little quiet conversation.
I guess it's up to Jonas if he's going to go along with that. I don't know. Usually this is the thing where you guys are like, start wrestling. I want to be part of this conversation. Wrestle. A classic way that you add yourself to conversations.
That's how D&D works. Theater of the mind. No, go ahead. Go into the first class cabin all alone, just the two of you.
Yep. We're just going to step over there.
Maybe one of you will exit.
Maybe.
Well, that would be very obvious then, wouldn't it?
I think I am going to go back into the dining car because I don't want to be alone with a small number of people.
All right.
One of whom is your
secret lover, Dan.
I'm his secret lover.
Secret is out, friends.
You know, we were going to come in like 15 minutes apart. It was a whole thing.
All right. So, conductor, you and I are talking. You were saying this is private, like-minded people. What are your thoughts about this? You seem to be muttering to yourself that you might have some suspects.
I think if what you say about Valente is true, I totally believe that her murder would have been more competently executed. I cannot entirely rule out the possibility that it was done to look sloppy, to throw blame on someone else, but at that point, it's a question of you must establish something to believe. Likewise, while I think Joan is capable of it, and certainly he has a naked ambition for the fortune, I also am not convinced that the methodology is his aligns with his MO, which mainly leaves Kaili and Athor, both of whom, obviously, like many of the rest of the passengers, have quite solid motives for murdering him.
I have no motive.
You're
I
not
was
there.
Leaving.
You're not there.
My ex- I came in.
Shouting in a room.
Sorry, I got confused too. Who steps aside? Because I see Fontaine's on the map by himself.
He's just monologuing.
You did say that. I lost track of who that was, who was and wasn't that.
I'm sorry.
And then some people moved themselves on the map.
While you were
having that conversation, the Kaylee and Leopold returned to the dining car. So they squeeze past you. Your conversation pauses for a moment as they enter and exit earshot. And yes,
tickets, please.
Yeah, the two of you are in the vestibule of the car, having a private conversation where no one can overhear you or argue with you about your decisions or proclamations, Fontaine. Sorry, Antichamber. Continue.
Indeed. They seem to me to stick out as two people who might perhaps have the kind of motives and manner of murder that perhaps leans towards them, but I cannot conclude anything. We have very little evidence.
I wish I was in the room that I could defend myself. But
you can defend yourself when you get accused. You haven't been accused yet. Kayla, I don't know if you have come to any similar or different conclusions based on what you know. But I feel that we must this at least not- start. I feel that I must find somebody to trust or else we will make no progress in this whatsoever.
This is a stone cold whodunit. I agree. However, I must ask you first. It is awfully coincidental that you knew the deceased before this train ride. You understand why that gives Indeed. All of us a little bit of pause that you just happen to have known him before in the war.
It is not so much a case of happenstance as it is of Egan finding, as he so often did, means of exploiting people. He knew that I was a conductor on the Lightning Rail, and therefore he often made it his business to travel when I was working because he knew that he might take advantage of my knowing him.
Are you the reason that the gun was allowed on board?
I am the reason the gun was allowed on board. He did convince me, much as I wish I had had the fortitude to tell him no. Our history together means that he is aware of things about my past that I would prefer are not widely known. Therefore, he takes it upon himself to use that information to leverage me into doing him favors whenever he is in Sharn.
I am going to choose to trust you because the fact that you allowed this gun on board and then would have killed him with it seems to be a very bad sequence of events that would have turned immediately back upon you. And while you might be that stupid, I got to trust somebody. So let's give it a shot.
I just appreciate that there's a very complicated scale here of like, what is this murder was not great. But it wasn't super stupid.
Yeah, and we're narrowing in on how stupid it was.
How stupid, but not that stupid.
There's a sweet spot of stupid.
All right. And so we have learned a little bit more about Fontaine and his relationship with Egan Baker. But how stupid was he? Was the murder of Egan Baker a crime of opportunity, a crime of passion, or a crime of murder? It was clearly a crime of murder. One. Yeah, it was that one.
We solved it, everybody.
As more and more secrets tumble out, as doors are broken such they can never be locked again, as people proclaim that they have been ruined, and more glamour weave dresses are revealed, do we get any steps closer to knowing the truth? Unclear! But for answers to questions such as that, which was not really a question, more of a thing that I just said in a loud voice, tune in next time to Total Party Kill. Murder on the Eberron Express.